that you all attend our show. And this year, and the next year, I'm quite sure you will be here in Cologne again when we maybe introduce our new product range. First of all, I would like to introduce the general manager of our new founded Amiga Inc. for research and development, Mr. Jeff Schindler. Jeff knows Amiga already, and that's very good, I think. He worked more than 3 years for Gateway 2000, and I think he's a father of the well-known destination, which is a monitor where you can see television, and of course, you can use it also as a PC. Joe Torrett. Responsible for hardware development, was discovered by myself during a visit in Atlanta when I joined the Atlanta User Club. Derek Lively, Events Coordinator, he joined Amiga Inc. from the Siouxland Metro Amiga User Club based in South Dakota. Before, ladies and gentlemen, I continue with my speech, I would like to say thank you to Mr. Kermit Wooder. Kermit is working for the Nobel Design, and Kermit always supported our Amiga. And he is already an institution running developer conferences. Thank you very much, Kermit. You have done a very good job. And you supported our love Amiga. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate if you can hear say some words to our authority.
I'd like to thank you, Petra, for giving me a few moments here. Just like to say, I've been really amazed by all the developers who showed up here and at the meetings that I myself hosted in the past. Started about a year and a half ago with a fairly simple idea. I just wanted to provide a forum at some of the Amiga group shows that were being put together around the world for developers to come together, merely for the purpose of just uniting and helping us develop our software, where we interact with each other, just advancing our business and Amiga overall. We've got a significantly larger and more important meeting tonight, and in the future, I'm going to be doing whatever work I can with that, and in no small part, the torch is going to be passed on to a new group called the ICOA, who are going to be coordinating a lot of developer activities that you'll hear about in the future. There are people from in here tonight, and there's just a lot of good stuff coming around. I'm very excited about things. I'm having a good time.
Petro, again, thanks for letting me come up. Appreciate it.
Before Jeff and his staff will start in a few minutes to explain our R&D strategy, before this exciting announcement will happen, I would like to explain our license policy and the function of Amiga International, where I'm responsible for. Amiga International is located in Langen, as you know, in Germany, and we are responsible for sales and marketing worldwide. I'm running this company, And beside this, I'm the official spokesman of Aquila. Our goals are selling the existing products, A1200, A4000 tower, and of course, components for spares. And we have another goal we have to reach also, license agreement. As you know, we performed already following agreements. For the A1200, Micronic, the German company, A4000, Nova Sector, it's a US company. Then we licensed the OS 3.1 for software hood in the USA, for power computing in England, Vesalia computer in Germany. We also licensed some software application to Epic Market in the UK and to Cluanto. It's a really hot item, a long discussion about Amiga forever. Merchandise articles are also licensed to Vidamos, a company in Sweden, Robert Hellon with a special design in the US, Triple A in France, Logica from Italy, Randomize in Canada, and Amiga Plus, our German Amiga magazine. New hardware based on our Amiga OS are showing on our booth. Index from the UK, QuickTech, which is located in the USA, and I would say the most spectacular development from PCE in Germany, which you also can see on our own. We also have signed a spare part agreement with Pextron in the USA. Further license contracts are in sight for the A1200, LBOX Poland, which I saw here is approved, Intrinsic in England, and Professional Support Service of South America. And of course, you will know this, REC, a Chinese company, which we are also negotiating. I think, as I told you already, the most spectacular developments is a new board made by PCE, which will be represented on our booth, of course. New licensees are welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Please approach me, and we will find a way. You know, I'm a very simple guy, on a mutual benefit. For the future, I think it's very important that we streamline our trademark and copyrights. We cannot accept any infringements. Please understand. No infringements on soft and hardware or any other copyrights violations. I know that after two bankruptcies, many things went out of control, because nobody was aware and nobody knew how the future of Amiga will be going. These days, when everybody knows that Gatewell is now the legal owner of all intellectual property of Amiga, we want to ensure that we are controlling one of our most valuable assets. Please, everybody who is using Amiga intellectual property, which is not registered, please contact. I'm sure we will find a satisfactory way for both parties. It is very important for us to file a complete document of Amiga names and copyright. For this protects us against losing certain rights forever. The deadline for this action will be December 31st. And please, this year, and please support me. Send me emails or faxes if you think there could be an infringement. It protects us ourselves. Now, Jeff Schindler will give a little forecast, foretaste, what you may expect in the next year. Thank you.
First of all, I would like to recognize someone who stuck with MEGA through the ups and downs when everyone was wondering if it was ever going to come back. And it was one man who stood up here a few years ago and said he'd be back. And he's always been with it. I'd like to make sure we give that vote. Interesting, I talked to R.J. Michael a lot, and he sent me a video of some of his home videotapes of the original Amiga and the original designers. And I actually sat up one night with my wife and I watched it, and it really gave me the feeling of how special the Amiga is. No one really realizes it until you get involved, and then it just sort of sucks you right into it. What it is, when we sat down that night and sort of watched the original guys, the passion they had, and the just drive that they had. It wasn't to make money, it was to do something special and to make a change. It really, really made me proud to think that I could stand up here as general manager of Amiga Inc. and address you. So you have the energy, and from that I get lots of emails, lots of phone calls. Keep them coming, and it continues to bring up my spirit and make me understand what Amiga is all about. But a lot of questions I get is, well, who's Jeff Schumer? Well, I just want to start out by saying I'm a common guy, and the reason I have some sweat on my brow is because I think I've been to every building in this place before I found my club. And the fact is, I'm a common guy because I was smart most of the time. And I came here with my wife, Kim, who's in the back. She's turning away. She's going to kill me for that. And I let her do the navigating most of the way until tonight. And I said, I know where the club is. Wrong. So I know that I need to listen to people. And that's one of the largest things that I've understood about Amiga, is it is a community. It is about people, and they have a lot of input. And one of the reasons of the frustration of where we're at is because we want to get as much input from all of you as possible before we make our plans for next year, the year after, 4 years out. So with that, I'll talk about Amiga Inc. And we are a wholly owned subsidiary of Gateway 2000, but we always put, when we say wholly owned, we always put we're independent. And Gateway really wants it to be that way. There's several reasons why. One of the reasons is just because Amiga is so much different than Gateway's business that we need to be independent, we need to be our own company. And it's actually, we joke around that it's nice for Petro to be actually in Germany away from headquarters at Gateway, because he can pretty much run his own business. And that's what we're trying to do as well. But that's one of the things that's important for us, become our own company and not get pulled into the Gateway infrastructure. And Ted Wade is really behind that, realizes how important it is. Today, we're currently headquartered in South Dakota, and we do have a vision, and our vision is to become a worldwide standard technology for convergence products. Technology is recognized throughout the world, and if you want me to explain a little about convergence, one of the reasons I think I was selected for this job was the fact that when I went to Gateway, my previous life was in portables, and Gateway's portables were okay. So Ted Wade asked me to come and do portables, and I said, Ted, I'm a little tired of the portables, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. He said, okay, Jeff, what's the next thing? I said, I don't know. He said, well, go ahead and figure out what it is. So did some research and came up with the invention of destination, which Petro had mentioned, which is really one of the first, world's first PC TV to integrate consumer electronics and computing all into one package. So you have stereo, you have digital TV and video, and all that stuff works together. Through that, it was a concept. And one of the issues was, well, if you weren't comfortable with a PC, were you ever going to buy the product? And, you know, we work hard in the PC world where I was from to to always try to take that PC and make it lower cost and easier to use. And every year, as you all know, they come out and they're more expensive, well, in some cases, and they're always more complex. So if we're really going to be a standard worldwide, we need to achieve those goals. For my background, my first computer was a Commodore VIC-20. And I was all excited. I was in college. I was in electrical engineering. And actually, we were married and we ran out of money, as many college students do. And I went and worked for a company when actually my salary was paid by Commodore, Atari, Texas Instruments, all those companies that were in the home computer business back then. And what I would do is go around to different retail places and train them on the new products and help them understand how to sell products. And when you sell a computer back then, you should sell software with it. A lot of store people didn't even know that. But anyways, I was involved in a lot of those things. And I remember bringing home my first VIC-20, and I started programming right away. In about 4 hours, I ran out of memory. I don't know if that means there's not enough memory or I'm a terrible programmer, but I remember running out of memory and going and buying a 4K, I think, module about that big. I remember those. And I went from that to the 64 and so on and so on. So it was really cool to actually come back to the original stuff with my PC back on it and that. And
if you look back in the field,
how are we going to execute this vision?
Basically, we, as Petro said, we are the research and development company, and that's what we're going to concentrate on.
So we're really, really concentrating on what is the future. Okay, and that's another reason why it's taking longer. I don't want to come out with something in 6 months and then another rev in a year and find out, oh shoot, we really should have looked down this path. And, you know, now we're going to have to change everything in 2 years. We want to make sure that what's been created so far, the legacy and everything behind it, can be carried forward. At the same time, we can be at or above the industry standards and technology and state of the art. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially with technology moving so fast. So we're spending a lot of time working with a lot of companies, working with a lot of technology and saying, does this fit? And how does it fit? And when does it fit? And so we're working with them. The other thing we need to do, as I said before, is really leverage people like yourself to understand what you're seeing out there, what you want to develop to, what you think the market's going to do. That is key. One of the great things is we feel like we're a startup company, but we've got this huge backing even before we start, and this huge following. Most startup companies don't have that. OEM software application partners. Basically, you're not going to buy a computer unless it has content. You're not going to buy a box unless it has content. You're not going to buy a big video editing machine unless it has some software content. That is key. And if we don't sign up more and more software partners, we're not going to survive. So that is really key to what we're doing. The other thing is we'll work hand in hand with Petro to take the future technologies and help to license that and work that through to the actual OEMs. Our business is to be in the future of Amiga's technology. We're not really in the product business. I want to make that sort of clear right now. What we're doing is we're trying to move the technology forward and come up with a core architecture so that OEMs and whoever that would like to take the core Amiga architecture to take that and build whatever product they want. Okay? That's what we're in the business for. So another thing that is going to be tough for us is to try to control at the core level compatibility, both in what's being developed with software and content, what's being developed in the hardware area. So that when you see that bowling ball on a piece of software, and you see that bowling ball on a box or a computer or whatever you come up with, you know that that works with that. And that's our goal. So the first thing we do is do research. We research trying to understand the current technology, the strengths and weaknesses, where we're at with that. Again, more research, getting feedback from yourself and the rest of the world, understanding the market trends
and the end users, how their lives are changing, what they'd like to do next. That's critical. Understanding industry standards worldwide. We need to understand if we come out with something neat and everyone else is using something different for their video encoding and decoding, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So we want to make sure that we understand those things. And then we want to understand technology advances. Basically, the way I do product planning is you understand the market trends, what people are doing and where they're going. You understand the technology that's happening, advancing, and the intersection is when you come up with a great product or a core technology. And that's a pretty simple approach that seems to work. If you have a technology that's before what people want, it doesn't make sense. If you have a market and the technology is old, you close up with that too. The next two slides, you'll probably know more about it than I am. But it's basically the summary or the high level of our strengths. Right now, it's very compact, the OS, as well as the hardware architecture. It's efficient and it's reliable. If you look at some of the other alternatives, especially in the business I was in before, we know a lot about reliability. You go to print something at the same time that you're opening something else up and you've got two or three other applications going, there's a good chance the other side of the fence that I was on before will crash. So it's one of the things that we have that they've been trying to do forever, and the more they make it complex, the harder it is for them to do that. Multitasking. I'm amazed. We had NewTek in, and we have the video editor up there, and it's doing all kinds of wonderful things that they're using for TV ads and Hollywood to make movies. And Joel Torre's sitting there going, watch this, and he's about as fast as you can be with that mouse. And he's doing a zillion things at the same time, and there's no slowing down. It was amazing. We like to bring that demo in when everyone wants to see what the Amiga is. And it's like, well, here is finally multitasking. Well, multitasking, if you listen to Carl Stassaron, he said, well, I developed that years ago. And why didn't the rest of the industry catch on? Well, forget them. We're gonna take what we have and move forward with that. Auto configuration. I remember when the PC world came out with plug and play and everyone called it plug and pray. You remember that? So they're still trying to figure out what that is. In fact, there's a lot of things they did that were auto this and auto that that you'll find in the new version of Windows. It's not auto this. They took those out because they're just not like that. So that's one of the things we have. Video and graphics. It is absolutely incredible to see what some of these machines can do with 2 megabytes or 4 megabytes of memory. I was just shocked to see some of this stuff. So it was incredible. I call it high value, excellent cost, function ratio. Basically, you're always trying to develop a product that costs less but has more functionality. And I think the Amiga has a base to be one of the leaders in that. You can use a TV or a monitor. And why make someone buy an expensive monitor when you can do certain things really well on the TV? The architecture can be used for small devices and it can be used for very high-end devices. And there's very few architectures that are really like that. We want to take advantage of that. And the supporters, again. It's a architecture that's backed by so many people. And everyone talks about how, you know, we have these people that are into Apple and how dedicated they are to Apple. And then you say, well, have you heard about people that are dedicated to Amiga? Forget the Apple stuff. It doesn't compare. So that's one of the things we like to say. Some of the weaknesses, we got to be real. It was way ahead of its time, but the technology is at least 4 years old in a lot of areas. And that's why you're here to listen to what we're going to do with it. And that's something that we need to recognize in a lot of areas and get it moving forward. The user interface is, again, that old. And if we're going to actually bring it into people's households or use it as a kiosk, whatever, these things have to be as easy as is point and click or get to the internet with one step. There can be several user interfaces that we can support. We can support a sophisticated user interface for the enthusiast, but we have to also have that thing for someone that says, I'm never getting a computer in my house. And then we need to show them something that says, well, try this thing. And they look at it and they say, well, that's an Amiga. What does it do? And
say, well, what would you like to do? Would you like to get from that to play video from that? Would you like to play a game from that to play a game? Those type of things is what I'm talking about. The applications. Since Commodore has gone bankrupt, we all know that there's been less and less developers, and that makes sense because people are looking for volume. So that's one of the things. We got to get the products out there. We got to get the technology moving forward, and we'll start to see more developers, anywhere from single developers to very large companies supporting it. Motorola's lack of moving the 68,000 family forward. We all know what that's about. We're talking with Motorola. We're trying to understand what we need to do there with either that family or the next family or something else to make sure that that we're up to speed there. Lack of state-of-the-art hardware. There's a lot of cases where all the chips now are made with technology that was processed 4 or 5 years ago. Those things can be done in a much cheaper way today and much more efficient. And there's a lot of features we need to add. And I think lack of industry attention, just because there hasn't been a lot going on, we don't have that. One of the other goals of the company is to make sure that, again, Amiga is recognized as a consumer and in the commercial market as one of the leading technologies. And it's interesting about Amiga. You either know everything about it or you know nothing about it. So we got to get those people who know nothing about it to say, hey, I've seen that bowling ball. I think I know what that is. Part of the research is going back to some of the originators and talking to them and understanding what they think should go next, what their recommendations are. All these people that we have listed here, Carl, RJ, Dale, Alan, Andy, and Ed, are all working with us. They all, they're all there as consultants and advisors. They may even do work for us. But at this point, it's great because just about everybody, including some of you in the crowd we've talked to, have said, you know, whatever you need, I'll be there for you. So whether employees or consultants or contractors, everyone's behind it. One of the questions we have is, how are we going to interact with the developers? What I'd like to put up here is really a proposal that I'd like to get more feedback on. There's been a lot of talk about the ICOA. They've been very active in trying to be the in-between between what we're doing and understanding what's going on there in the development field and filtering back and forth things. So at this point, this isn't official. I just want to say that, but this is a proposal, basically. You can see that we have proposed a steering committee, and right now what's being proposed is someone from the users group, two people representing software developers, person representing the public domain, shareware field, and then someone from Amiga Inc. actually sitting on a steering committee. And then there's working groups and a membership committee that would basically all work together to form this center box. And then the actual developers, large, small, and independent people would all filter through there. And in some cases, some of the companies we'd have to work directly with. We can't work with everybody. We want to be an efficient, small company, really dedicated to technology. And so we do need something in between us to work those issues. So, by the way, on your survey, if you have comments about this, I would like to get your feedback, okay, on this proposal. The Amiga.org is another. There's another group that we'll have to have because there's so many users groups. I was amazed to find out that when we talked about Amiga and understood everything, that we had a president of the Sioux City area Amiga users group, which is Derek Lyle. I was like, you're kidding me. In Sioux City, South Dakota, we have, and I was like, oh yeah, there's a president. So there's a lot of organizations out there we recognize, of course. So we would like to have a body in between that would
work through and try to coordinate things. And that doesn't mean a meeting doesn't work or show up at meetings or help events or anything. I mean, we'll be very active in that, as well as Amiga International, as today, as Petro has put this on. But we do need something officially to filter everything through. Did anybody attend the Midwest Amiga show in Ohio? Okay, we did a survey there as well. And I'd like to share some of that with you and just show you that we're getting the feedback, as well as we'll add what we get tonight to our database. But I'll go through some of the highlights. Most of the people were software developers. There was a mix of hardware, software. There's very few hardware developments, probably because the chips haven't been updated in a long time. But anyways, that's the body of the feedback. One of the questions you have, some of these will be very similar to the survey you have. We asked, what about legacy applications? There's been a lot of push to go to a new processor, and then you say, well, if you jump right to a new processor, what does that mean about all the other applications you've got out there? The bulk of the people said anywhere from 70 to 90% is what they would like to see in legacy applications. There was just a very small few that said, legacy is not important to us, and it's a small group that said we want 100% legacy application support. So I was real happy with that feedback, and we'll see what we get tonight. But what we would like to do is try to understand how we can keep a large percentage of the legacy at the same time move the technology forward. And that means that the legacy piece has to be very inexpensive, because it can't add a lot of costs, yet we think it's important to be there to take what we have today and not throw everything away. The other big question is, okay, so what's the next CPU? I don't think this is surprising to anybody. The PowerPC was right there at the top. The Alpha is there as well, although I don't know how many of you are aware of what's going on with Intel and Alpha, and how Intel's coming out with Mercer, and they've invested in Alpha, and they said they're going to support Alpha, but that's a big question about what's going to happen with Alpha now. Intel has their fingers in that. I think the statement was, Dex said, and Intel said that they will continue to support it, but that's one of those question marks as well. What's going to happen next? MIPS is there. The rest of those, it was pretty interesting, were pretty similar. I think the most important thing from this chart that's actually in text is that almost everyone agrees that we should support more than one CPU. And there's no reason we can't do that. But there's a balance of when we need to release something versus we can't support 10 CPUs and have a real problem with an operating system that's all over the map because we've got so many CPU support. We do need to focus on a few. But I think it does make sense to support more than one family, because we'd like to see products all the way from very low-end, very low-cost products all the way to the high-end, and that means probably different CPUs. Try to get some of these through quick. You had the same question. These are the response on the video and graphics as far as what people thought were important to support in the next rev. Retargetable graphics, in other words, they think it's very important that we support different graphics formats, and I agree, and I'll talk about multimedia coming up here. Of course, 3D. Genlab capability, one of the things that Amiga does that really no other system that I know does a good job at. So a lot of these things are important. DVD came up several times a day, and users just have to do it. We're going to buy my Amiga with a DVD. Those type of things are things we have. You can get a lot on communications, except the fact that we got to get a good TCP/IP stack. We've got to get a nice internet interface and networking, and the serial ports have to.
Some of the things with the floppy, PCI is I think very critical. There's a pretty much a good standard and an awful lot of boards out there that support PCI. I want to say that this is input back from the developers. This doesn't guarantee that we're going to do it, but this is what we're going to take as input for the important things to work on. Doesn't say when or how, but these are the feedback. There's still people who like to see Zorro bus supported. I think that makes sense depending on the design of the product that the OEM might want to do. They may or may not have a Zorro bus. But supporting more printers, things like that, these are obvious things that I think everyone would agree. Memory protection comes up a lot. And that's an issue of supporting the legacy operating system in the application. So we have to be very interested, or very, we have to really understand what we can do with memory protection and not lose what we have today. Of course, more interrupt tools, new icons, more gadgets. We have to support more audio solutions. So what we'll do is we will compile that along with what we get here today and take that as one of our large inputs to the research that we want to do for our plans and when we can actually put some of those features in and how we're going to implement those. So with that, I'd like to go into some of the marketing trends that we see. In the early 70s, or late 70s, basically you had people that just wanted to get in and figure out what a computer was. They were hobbyists, and the big applications that drove those were word processing and spreadsheets, and then games. In the mid-80s, you added some graphics, and people started using for home financing, and businesses started using small computers for financing. What's the future mean? The future, everyone talks about digital. Everyone talks about being connected worldwide, and I would agree. The world's moving to digital, it's also moving to interaction between everyone out there. And that's what I think is going to drive the future. People being able to communicate, people being able to publish what they want, understand and talk to anybody they want, sharing things with people basically over the internet. End market, end user market, basically consumers are adopting computers, but it started at a fast pace and started to slow down. And basically, there's those reasons again. They're too complex and intimidating. And a lot of people feel, well, I could probably figure this computer out, but I don't want to spend 3 days figuring out how to send an email. And that's ridiculous. So they say, I'm not going to spend $2,000 on this thing. And so basically they're saying, look at, if something comes out that lets me do my simple task that I just want to do, that I can understand, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, I'm going to do it. And I think Amiga has a lot to say about that. I think we're positioned pretty well to have products that can do those things. Again, I talked about the internet, and basically the internet's giving people freedom to express themselves and be able to communicate and get information on the spot. There's a lot to talk about push technology with the internet. It's really not push technology, it's really pull, where users can say, well, I want the weather every morning, or I want my stock portfolio, or I want this, I want that. Those things are going to start showing up. And those services are going to be available, and that's another huge thing that's going to drive this market. Digital entertainment. Games are becoming more real. And the more real life they become, the more people need these products, because they see it and they're like, oh, I got to have that thing. That will help drive this market. In the education market, it's absolutely essential now. We're seeing universities with every student needs a computer. We're seeing the classrooms in the same way, and that'll help drive the market as well. Industry standards, I talked about that. It's critical that we follow the industry standards, and if something's really adopted worldwide, that we don't
go out and do our own thing. If we do our own thing, I think it's okay, but we also have to support the industry standards. MPEG-2 video, things like USB and 1394 are starting to, will be more of a standard. Digital broadcast, we're seeing the US and Europe, Europe's probably adopting it faster, seeing that broadcast, instead of it being as we know it as NTSC and PAL, moving more to digital. And when that happens, again, the people that have a box on the other end, it's like, well, it's a digital satellite receiver. It's got a processor and it's got memory. It's got some type of operating system. Well, why can't I use it as a computer? So that makes a lot of sense for us to look at those type of things. And Amiga's got a really good operating system to do that because it's low cost, efficient, and the good video and graphics are amazing. Video conferencing, everybody's been talking about that forever. I don't know how fast that'll take off because of the limit of the phone lines, but I think when things become very simple, people can touch a screen. They all want to be, a lot of people would like to be like the Jetsons someday, and I think that's not too far off. Software standards, we're seeing a lot of change there. Most of it's internet related with HTML and Java, and we have to move to C++, as well as there's some alternatives out there, even to C++, that we've been investigating. So I thought I'd put together a chart on some of the products that actually are being worked on right now that either Petro is licensed or we're working with companies that are looking at products. This gives you an idea. And by the way, if you have a product idea that doesn't show up here, great. These are some of the things, all the way from a consumer internet appliance to an all-in-one TV, VCR, computer. One of the ideas is something for kids, you know. I've seen some new kids' computers that have LCDs about that big. Don't make a lot of sense, and they cost $400. And I think with the Amiga architecture, we come up with great products like that. But we also want to support things as high as the home power or the digital projection. Some of those machines are coming out in the future. It makes a lot of sense because a lot of new consumer products are becoming completely digital, and they have processors. So it makes sense, why don't we add the Amiga architecture and get the whole flow of computer support. I know you can come up with more ideas here, but in the commercial market today, Amiga's in hotel boxes, they're using a lot of kiosks, and of course we have the big video editors that are being used in TV stations and in Hollywood. So there's a lot more applications here, but here's some of the products that are out there today. I'd sort of like to go through some of the technology. This is basically what I want to show you is some of the research that we've been doing and why it's taking so longer. We want to understand what we have today and what are the new things that are there for tomorrow that we need to be in tune with. And like I said, everything that's going to be on this chart doesn't mean in the next release they will put it in there because it will take time and we want to have the releases out on at least a yearly basis, if not more, and understand when we need to put these features in to support them. So what do we have in processors? This is what everyone wants to know. Today it's a single CPU. It's basically a single unit instruction. And there are a lot of custom chips we have around it. It's 32-bit. Some of the future trends are multiple CPUs, and it doesn't have to be a CPU. It could be a CPU and another processor to do other dedicated work. Pipeline instructions are becoming important because it's speeding up the machine so much. Multimedia DSPs, or digital signal processors, those are very important. I'm going to talk about those. Emulation CPUs. The question is,
should we come up with a new CPU or work with a CPU that actually emulates the 68000 for our legacy? We're looking at that idea. Distributed processing makes a lot of sense. I think the Amiga does that right now, and I think we need to extend that as far as taking specific hardware that does certain things its best and let the CPU do its own thing. And then the question is, should we go to a 64-bit architecture? All right. Caught up in is again, what's the CPU, what's the CPU, what's the CPU. The other thing we have to look at is what are the new features that people are asking for and want to do. Things like 3D and digital broadcast they talked about, video editing and conferencing and surround sound. And you look at CPUs as we know them today and you say, okay, well, how good are they, these things? And you find out most of them are awful. They're basically integer. And yeah, these things use floating point, and they're okay at floating point, but there's a lot of signal processing going on here, and digitizing and converting. And there are a lot better solutions out there than just a single CPU to do these things. Especially if you want to do a product where you want to watch a DVD movie, so you're decoding that at the same time you're downloading a fax, or you're checking your mail, or you've got the kids are playing a game. I know in my house with the destination, we do a lot of those crazy things. We'll be having the TV up at the same time. We've got balancing the checkbook, and Kim's on the internet chatting with some friends. So.
You've mentioned a couple times with future trends, games, and one thing that the Commodore was doing before the end. Maybe incorporating the MK, different questions that people want to learn, so we can track other game companies as well, and you see what other team trades off of. That's one comment, but the question I really like to bring up is RTG, Turbo Graphics, which comes up time and time again as a machine priority in many development conferences we've been talking. ATA is quite old, and I know it's what we have right now, and what we kind of standard. Firm when we didn't have a head company, RTG has become more and more prominent. And if you walk around all the big blocks, all the Amigas on the floor at the show primarily have RTG installed, running all the high-end software. Yet, I see, time and time again, the official stance, I know 3.5 may not make it in, is that we're not going to have any commitment that RTG is very, very important. The government has the 96 is good software, the cyber graphics is good software, but they're not 100% compatible in all areas. It'd be much better as far as any divisions that might happen or have happened in the past, if there was one standard for the OS, and then they could write the fastest driver they could for their video card, and likewise Phase 5 or any other companies can write the best driver they could with the guidelines sort of inside the OS. So no conflicts with them, no conflicts with developers wondering what should we write to, and everything runs very quickly, smoothly. Is RTG a prominent thing that we're going to look for in the future?
Yeah, it's definitely. The feedback we've gotten so far, you're right, it is number one on the list of graphics to support. And the question is, what can we put in? We need to look at that and see if that's something we can put in 3.5 and at what level. We know for the new release after that, we'd like to support several different graphics standards. Being able to have the application be able to choose which graphics it would like to use. So that is a priority. I would say at this time, I just don't know how much we can put in 3.5. 3.5 we're going to pack in as much as we can, but again, it's got to be a stepping stone for the next generation, and it can't, whatever feature we put in 3.5, it can't take us 8 months to a year to put in either. So, and we'll try to evaluate things on, you know, when can we get them in, what release is going to go. We'll keep that at the top priority. It continues to be the top request, I should say, in the graphics area.
Okay, so please. My name is Alan Kula, and the development of the algorithm for the customer here. You said you received lots of email, and I tried to contact Amiga, not Amiga International, by email, but I did not find the email address.
Very good question.
What's your email address, special?
Mine is well known.
One of the problems is we've changed our ISP three times since we started. What officially do we want to use, Joe?
We have started this month, which is
Now Lance will be really happy because their servers are going to shut down. Use that one. You can still send email to Petro and they forward it on to me. I also, right now I have a gateway address that we're changing. My other, like I said, we switched ISPs three times. My new address isn't working yet, so I'd rather, you can use my gateway address, but I'll be converting that over. So that's shinja@gateway.com. But why don't you use this one? That'll be our hopefully that'll stick for a while. And as that, if we change that, we'll try to let you know the media.land or media.land.net.
Gateway is our bank.
It's that way you can pay us. In the United States, things like Open Cable Labs has a spec now for
cable companies to do digital broadcast for the upcoming digital TV and digital broadcast. And things like that we're going to pay attention to and try to help support those things so that if someone wants to build a box and use a main architecture, we hope for the best solution for that.
So, your
Well, we know it.
Yeah, well, there's a chance. Well, I think that nobody there has an idea how much you plan to spend on every passing and deliver in the next 6 or 12 months. Then we will see a lot of things that we know. And what I'm afraid that after a good 5 months of each, the impression I have is you know that 3.5.1 might be equivalent to a new iPhone and a new Wii, which is not very new, I'm sorry about that.
Well, let me address, so I don't forget the last comment. Those few things are just the things that, well, of course we're going to do. That's the short list of, well, of course, we recognize these things. There's a big list of things that we're looking at that we're hoping to include. It's a question of how long it will take to include a lot of the other things so we can get a release out for it.
Because for the new markets and joining new people that like have on PlayStation and something like that, I told him yes, so that we need to have the time and the media. No media. Well, it's your room. And I told him, well, I never see a garage with the Mercedes bus half. I see Mercedes factory for it. The same for PlayStation. Sorry, that's right, busy.
Right.
We
have a budget. Petro has a budget, and Media Inc. has a budget through the end of the year of 2000, and that's been approved. And that does include millions of dollars for advertising and brand recognition.
Okay. Of course, we will not tell you how much we have to spend,
but I think it's a huge amount that we can spend, and we will do it very well.
Maybe we're bringing that Tamagotchi out of these bad things there.
Tony, where were you last night? Anyways,
I think an Italian restaurant.
Yes.
My name is Christoph Bulicher. Well, no company, but I think my name is known as it. I have two remarks to make. One goes into the advertisement direction. Try to make a character out of the bouncy ball or something like that. Like Sega had the Sonic, the Super Mario with Nintendo. I think this gives much more identification possibility. But the other thing is, don't forget the low-end hardware. I missed in all the buzzword hardware, a simple thing like infrared port. You get every big laptop with an infrared port, but it can talk with printer. But none of these machines can use the internet, get the TV program, and program your VCR for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We haven't listed everything that we're referring to, but that's, you didn't see it, and that's a good point. We should consider that. And I do agree with you on the bowling ball. People can remember Amiga, but I hear Omega, I hear a lot of names that are similar to Amiga, and I think as much as from a little child to someone that would never consider a computer, they'll recognize that ball, and I agree that needs to be a good symbol that's recognized.
There are enough well-known Amiga friendly companies, whether it's Watch or whatever, who can do the job of making an identification figure or something out of the local.
Did you see, I don't know if some of you were by the booth this afternoon, but Joe has a lot of projects down in his little garage or somewhere. I'm not sure where he does these things, but he's got that bowling ball mystically floats up and down. We want to really take advantage of that and try to leverage that ball.
Ben? Hi, Ben Voss from Amiga Format magazine in the UK. I'd like to ask a couple of questions, really.
The first is that Eskom were very pleased to tell us all how much they paid for the Amiga and for Amiga Technologies, but we've never heard that from Gateway. Are we ever likely to find out how much was paid for the company?
I would say read the annual reports, and that's what could come out. Anything else that is said outside of that is considered public release, and the headquarters of Gateway has released those things because of the public company.
Right.
So,
because you gave out figures for how much you paid to ALR.
Gateway did,
yeah.
Gateway did? Okay. We can request that and see if they put it in the next quarterly or annual report. But I don't think it's a big secret, but again, that would have to be released from Gateway.
Sure. Okay, fine. The second question is about the 1200s that exist now. I find it really hard to believe that anybody wants to buy a 1200 new these days. I find it really hard to believe that anybody can recommend to a friend that they should buy a 1200. But, I mean, I'm sure you're trying to do your best, Petro, but £250 for a base 1200 is still far too much money.
Depends on the gross margin of the dealers, you know, because my price is very low. But there's still a market there. There's a lot of people who are... We have an A500 who would like to buy now an A1200. Micromic is very successful, and this is of course also business for Amiga International because they buy my boards. So there are other markets in the world, not only the UK or Germany. There is India. My Indian distributor, Mr. Viren Sartor, is here from Monarch. Welcome here in Germany. And we are really making good business for Viren and for Amiga International. Maybe I can mention this. We sold in the last 2 months more than 1,000 units to Monarch. Thank you very much. Yes? Chu. Maybe I introduce Chu. He's our Malaysian distributor, and he's also very welcome here.
Let's slip something about a deal having been struck with Epson which was, and then we couldn't find any confirmation about that at all. Can you tell us a bit more about that, if at all?
Yeah, Derek likes a lot of stuff. So. basically, pretty much, the companies that we've talked to, as far as parent companies, and people maybe like Adobe with different formats that we want to support, most of those companies have been very open to supporting us. So there's no official announcements because we haven't done any real deals, but we've called a lot of these companies and they said if we convince them that we are going to move forward, things are going to happen. In most every case, they're all there to really support what we're doing. Say present your business case, and we'll look at that.
And would be willing to kind of take the lead and go to some of the leading companies. Would be sort of willing to place the incentives to get, say, quality stress or.
We haven't made any decisions at this point to fund a certain software company to put their software over. One of the things we can do is leverage Gateway's relationship with a lot of companies, where they're buying lots of software from these companies. And you say, well, you know, it really does support the Amiga. somehow they agree. But besides that, there could be some key stuff that we may look into that may make sense. I wouldn't say it's out of the question. We just haven't decided to do that. I know we looked at some things, we have looked at some things as well. There's some problems at this point. We have. But I would say it's out of the question.
At the moment, it draws very much on the Amiga market as it is now, the software we deliver much to the industry today. Is this something you want to try and rectify? Do you want to try and go wider? Is it so much as ours?
Well, there's no doubt that we've got to get some of those big companies. And if you look at it, some of these companies that are big today, like Electronic Arts, started out Amiga. So I don't think it will be too difficult as long as we show them, just like everyone else, that yeah, we're going to move forward, there's going to be a lot of products. Please support our architecture, especially if they've been supporting Macintosh. It shouldn't be that much more to port over from Amiga. But again, because we're in the middle of upgrading it too, and looking at Mac architecture, we're taking our time. If we're going to get the right to today's format, and then change it real soon, that might make time. Make a lot of sense for us to say, okay, well, here's some new features we want to take advantage of. So we started Fox, but we don't, like I said, we don't have any.
Any more questions? Please.
Our developer, you said the Google Home and the development of .5.5 would be finished. We did not know if you begin, but you would have the development for you.
No, really soon. I've got a meeting with Ted Wade when I get back, tell him how the conference is going, and say, you know, basically, okay, we're moving on here, and here's what we're going to do. And he's completely behind it. He just wants to hear completely, okay. We've gone over the high-level business plan that's been approved. The money's been approved, but it's just, what's your execution and what's your plan? And that's what I have to put on the table when you're back. So, and it's actually the opportunity that we have to have this conference and more of your feedback before we play that now and get that through. So, and with that, that's my answer.
One more question?
Yes, please. Yes,
there are letters on the Okay, well, that's some good suggestions. And what we will do is get some of the stuff that's out there right now and negotiate with those developers and put them in. The other thing I want to address is just because we're going to start 3.5 with Zoom doesn't mean we're starting the next generation. It does mean we're starting the next generation. We're going to be in parallel working on the upgrade as well as the next generation. So, but that's a real good point. There might be some things, depending on how the period until we get 3.5 off, because it is certain other utilities that make sense.
My name is Martin Kopp. I have a general question. You have presented the vision of having an Amiga core technology that is common to devices like children computers up to tower computers. Do you have any idea of what this common Amiga core technology might look like? What nails it all together from little handhelds up to customer machines and telling machines and so on?
I actually do have an idea. I don't want to say I don't. We've got some plans for it. I didn't want to address those right now because until we get the right staff involved and they get involved and look at it and we meet with those companies one more time that are going to be the technology partners. I don't want to announce something and then a month later say, well, we made a mistake, we're not going to do that. But we are looking at architecture where an OEM can take something very low cost and cheap and it does certain functions and they don't actually have to have the other half of what a larger machine that does heavy and multimedia might have. So we'd like to build an architecture. The plan is to build an architecture to do that. So don't assume that every product on that list has the same pieces as the core architecture. Yes?
Are you still open for suggestions?
Oh yeah, write them right down on your survey. We'll take those.
Yes, please. How Rainway Hard Matters mostly informed.
I believe Dwight said I could make a comment. He called us last week and said he had enough of the Amiga people call him that he said he needs to get moving on that. So we're actually in discussion with the FinTech account about defensive players.
Thanks to you.
So, any more questions?
I can't, I'm under non-disclosure with them, so I can't actually say their plans, but I can comment the fact that their future plans match up a lot with our preliminary future plans as far as where they're going with their architecture and what we're going to do. But as far as them supporting it worldwide, you'd have to ask them.
I just wanted to make a comment on the Powell statement. Just before I left, I was checking the internet, and Dwight actually had an announcement regarding the media post up there. I was reading as I was going out the door, so I'm not going to be able to remember it exactly, so I just suggest go to the Lightwave group, the poster group, the media group, so you'll find it reposted everywhere all over there about what they have clarified and now have said about their legal situation. They have made now a public statement on that.
And I really want to say again, because of people like yourself, they kept calling them, flooding their email servers. The reason they called said, I guess we have to do something.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
We want you all to know we're a team.
Right, that means everyone in this room.
I feel like just going.